Alors, je suis très heureux d'ouvrir la dernière session de ce colloque. Nous accueillons donc dans un premier temps Madame Salomé Beritz, qui donc a travaillé pour un certain temps avec le projet Koranicum de Michael Marx, dont vous avez pu voir plusieurs présentations hier et aujourd'hui. Elle travaille maintenant à Hambourg, où elle réalise une thèse relative aux manuscrits coraniques. Cela ne vous étonnera pas. Alors, elle nous présente aujourd'hui une communication intitulée « Textual Variations and Spelling in the Manuscript Arab 335 and Affiliated Fragments ». I give you the floor.
Thank you very much for the introduction. So yes, my presentation will be about these fragments, which originally come from Al-Fustat, which is Old Cairo. So there are seven fragments which probably belong to one codex, and these fragments are preserved in various collections, as you can see here. The biggest one is with 17 folios from St. Petersburg, and then follows the Paris fragment with 10 folios, this from Leiden University Library with 4 folios, and then there are 4 other fragments, each of them with 1 folio, which are preserved in London, Doha, in Qatar, in Chicago, and in Philadelphia. So this codex was reconstructed with the project within the project Paleo-Quran. You've already heard yesterday and today about this virtual reconstruction of codices that is made in the project Paleo-Quran. So the same was done for these fragments, and it is called Codex Amrensis 20, which is a virtual call number. So here you can see the screenshot from the website, which you had the chance to look at it yesterday live with the presentation from Oliver Pohl. Now I will move to general features from the manuscripts. They are all written on parchment with the light to dark brown ink, and the vocalization is made with red or sometimes green ink. The most of the fragments have 20 lines per page, but some of the fragments, like you can see here, were damaged and there are less lines, but probably they had originally also 20 lines. As for the dating, the fragment from Leiden was dated with C14 analysis, and it was dated between 652 and 763. So this dating could be adopted for other fragments of the codex, but one should keep in mind that the C14 dating method has its limits, and that only the material, in this case parchment, can be dated. And the exact time of copying the manuscript cannot be determined. I just wanted to mention the catalogue from Giorgio Levi della Vida from 1981, and he dates the fragment from Philadelphia, which is on the left side. He dates the manuscript into the 9th century, which seems to be a little bit late if we consider the C14 dating results. Moving to the script, the script used is B1B according to the classification made by François de Roche. The script is large, as you can see, and vertical characters as Aleph and Lam are long, approximately 2.3 and 2.5 centimeters, and so they almost touch the line above. The ya, which you can see here, is normally reversed. Um, Yes. The text follows the late antique tradition of scriptio continua, adapted to the Arabic script. What does this mean? This means that the Arabic letters which can be connected within a word are still joined, but the space between the word and between different segments has the same meaning as has the same importance as the space between two different words. And the other feature is also that a word at the end of the line can be divided, and it helps to manage the line setting, the page setting better. Yes. The other feature of the fragments is this mashq technique, which is so to say the elongation of some horizontal characters, as you can see on the pictures. So this is also made very often in the manuscripts, and it could also help for the. It could also be helpful for the line setting and justification. Yes, as for the diacritic marks, they are indicated by oblique dashes. Characteristically, the qaf, as you can see in the pictures, is marked with a dash below. But there are two examples, one from the manuscript in from St. Petersburg, and the Parisian manuscript. In one case, we can see that the qaf has one dot or dash below and above, and the other one, it has two dashes below. Also for the vocalization, two layers can be observed when it comes to marking the verb forms for a second or a third person in plural form for the letters ya and ta. You can see it in the picture on the left. So in the manuscript St. Petersburg, we have a very good example. So the word tukazibuna, in the word tukazibuna, the first component is marked with two dashes above and below, and it is difficult to say which is the original layer of the manuscript, because the first segments are overwritten with darker ink. So, but I would suggest that the marks from Ta was, that they were original. It's just my opinion. Yes. Now I want to demonstrate some differences between the manuscripts. As for the verse separators, normally they are marked with a lozenge, like here, sometimes colored in yellow ink and outlined with brown ink, probably the same ink as for the text. But the fragment from Kata shows other verse separator, which you can see here. It's like, I'm not an expert in the art history, but for me it looks like a triangle or a pyramid in green ink. The similar verse separator can be attested in the Leiden fragment, but only on the first verso and recto, recto and verso pages. So after that, I looked at the text ranges, and I found out that they cover both the Qatar manuscript and Leiden first folio cover the second surah, which is Al-Baqarah. Maybe this would be an explanation for the diversity of verse markers. I won't be going into details as what regards the illumination, but yesterday my colleague Stefanie Franke mentioned surah separators, for example, in the manuscript, in the Parisian manuscript, and I just wanted to add that besides this, so to say, one-fold verse separators. They are separators marked with Aleph for groups of five verses and also rectangular illuminations for the group of 10 verses. Now let me move to the main part of the presentation. I will be showing some examples of the variant readings and orthography attested in the manuscripts. As a reference work for the variant readings, I use the Mu'jam al-Qira'at al-Qur'aniyya from 1888, which has 8 volumes. You can see the cover here. And the first I want to show the writing of the word Qur'an. This is a very puzzling case in the manuscripts. The manuscripts write no alif after the ra. If it's if the word is in the indefinite form of the direct case Qur'anan, the aleph is not added later, as in the most cases, for example, in the Tübingen manuscript, which is a Hijazi manuscript, or B1A. As for the definite form, Al-Qur'an, it is written with aleph, as you can see it in this picture. But the Tübingen manuscript, for example, shows that on one page we have both forms, one with without aleph and the other one with aleph, but probably this is a later edition. As I said, I attested 2 writings of Qur'anan in the manuscripts, and both were without aleph. It was Surah 41, verse 3, and 42, verse 7. Then I looked for variant readings of this word without Hamza, and I found the reading from Ibn Kathir, which you can see here. Still, the alif is not omitted as in the manuscripts. It could be that the manuscript didn't write Hamza and omitted the alif as the indication for the long vowel. The second category of variant readings regard the verb forms, and especially in second person plural versus a third person in plural. First example we can see here is the word yu'minuna, which is the Hafs reading, and yakfuruna also. And in the manuscript from St. Peter's book, they are both, we have the reading tu'minuna and tukfiruna. And here you can see that it's also attested in 2 variant readings. As for the tukfiruna, I can still see dashes above. I don't know if you can see it here on the picture. So it's the same case, which one was the original. It's difficult to say. The third category is, this is the same category. The other example with taqilun and la yundiru and la tundiru. Yes, I think I made a mistake here. It should be li tundira. We have also variations between first person in plural and third person singular. And in this case, we have 2 readings. Instead of yakhshuruhum, yakulu, nakhshuruhum, nakulu. And there are many attestation in variant readings for this form. And this is the same. This is the other case. It's vice versa with the case that the first person was switched with the third person singular. Yes. So now I will move to this to the orthography. I also I have collected all the variants in orthography for the which are attested in the manuscripts. And here you can see again the Paleo Quran website, and these are the list goes very long. I just couldn't put it in one screenshot. So you can browse the list and you can look for different orthography variants. Here you have the Hafs and here you have the manuscript spelling. I think I'm a little bit with the time. I will just show you this example as the main example with the scriptio defectiva or plena in the early Quran manuscripts is the word qala or qalu. And here you can see on the right hand that the manuscripts normally write, actually in all cases, write it with alif. And on the right, on the left side, you see the manuscript from London, which is Hijazi or Tübingen, and they, in most of the cases, write it without. So, this is this example, and the second category was about the writing of Hamza. So the Hamza is which represents a glottal stop in the manuscripts. It has normally no indication. However, there are some cases which I will demonstrate later, shortly. So instead of Hamza, we normally have the letter Ya. So the letter is indicated with two dashes below, like in La'ina or Ula'ika. Other examples are also Malaika, Sayyi'a, Ji'ta, Ji'tu, and so on. But as I said, there are some cases which are. This is another example of the writing bi-ayatina, which is also very, or bi-ayati, which is also very common in the early Quranic manuscripts. The plural of ayat shows a peculiarity when it is preceded with the prefix b. So in contrast with the plural ayat, which is written, you can see it here. Without B, prefix B, it is always written alif, identical for ya and the final ta. But if it's preceded with B, it is written with two denticles. So the same writing is attested also in Tübingen very often. And another interesting example is the writing of Shay. So in Hijazi or early Quran manuscripts, there are many cases where you can have the writing with alif, which is not in the half stacks. We don't have this writing, but here in the manuscripts normally we have. Normally we have this writing with Shin and Ya, but here I found an example where we had the Aleph and it was erased later. But the interesting case is that in Hafs we also have Aleph Li Shai In. So it seems that the corrector or the scribe just wanted to adjust the spelling to the standards of the manuscripts of the codex. Yes, these are some other interesting cases of writing Hamza or of not writing Hamza, but I'm not going to go into details. And finally, the I wanted to show you the example of writing of the name Dawood. So there are two examples of this name in the manuscripts, and in both cases the word is written with Dal, Waw, Alif, Dal, instead of Dal, Alif, Waw, Dal, like in the reading of Hafs. So in both cases the word was modified, as you can see. Here you can see the Waw and Alif, and here also. And the same writing is also in, for example, in Tübingen manuscript or in E20 St. Petersburg, or also in a London manuscript. So one can speculate about the pronunciation of this writing. It could have been spoken as Duad or Daud, maybe. In the first variant, the Waw could stand for the vowel U, and the Alif for the glottal stop. In the second version, the Waw could be interpreted as the long vowel A, which goes back to a rather infrequent spelling of medial A with Waw in the Aramaic orthography as well as in the Nabatean writing. Yes. Now I will come to conclusion. As we could see in the examples, the early Quran manuscripts, the spelling of the early Quran manuscripts is so long vowels and Hamza is affected mostly, and already in the Aramaic orthography and in the pre-Islamic inscriptions we have the defective writing of long vowel am. In the codex presented today, we have some archaic spellings such as the word Quran or the name Dawood or as well Biayat and other writings of Hamza, whereas there are very consistent and persuasive cases of orthography that is attested in early manuscripts. On the other hand, we have also a lot of writing like inscriptio plena, like Qala. Yes, I forgot to mention Na'adab and Na'ibad is also normally written with Alif, which is not characteristic, for example, for Hijazi manuscripts. So with the help of early Quran manuscripts, we cannot get the whole image of the Arabic orthography in the first centuries of Islam, but we can contribute to the better understanding of the orthographic norms of that time. So that was all for today. Thank you. Thank you.